Good evening.
Good evening, Margaret.
Hello.
We are on group 25 in section 5 of the Parsha of Lech Lecha, utilizing this Sulam commentary on the Zohar. And I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Berichu, Ishkin Te, Ishilu, Urchimu, Urchilu, Urchilu, Urchimu, Le'atcha, L'shem Yudhe Bobavhe, Be'yehuda, Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Le'yud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vahino Amadunai Elohim, Wa'leinu Ma'asei Adenu Kananeh, Leinu Ma'asei Adenu Kananehu. Ashkach v'takil v'yada dehakama dim hahiyo nekuda emsaita deyishuva mineyo mineya ishti ashtil Kol alma lechol sitro, hake name yada deha, heila deshare, ala mitaman, navku kol shahar chelim. Dimanan al kol sitre, alma lechol ho. Veya achidan yedein v'yeitzu itam meul tasdim lalechet arza kenan. He watched attentively, weighed and realized that the middle point of the inhabited world is the point from which the whole world moves out to all its corners, which means that the point governs all the sephirot of Zeranpin and all the sephirot of the Nukva, which are named corners of the world, since the point is placed above them. Similarly, he knew the power that must prevail over the point. As a result, all of the powers that govern the corners of the world originate from that point, and all the Sephirot hold to it. Then they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. Questions, comments, thoughts? Or if you'll give me a minute, I'll pull up the my comments on it. I've been running late today. I apologize. Also, I'm hearing some background noise. I'm not sure what it sounds like. So does anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay, my comments on this section. This is teaching us about the astrology of where and when to move to a new location. It is also revealing the idea of the paths of energy flow from Israel to the rest of the physical world. Now I'll ask questions, comments, thoughts.
Okay, I think we learned this point about the paths of energy flow from Israel. Even our prayers have to go that way. I think when we were studying the land class, but I can understand the where to move, but I don't understand the when. W-H-E-N. Where does it say that in the verse? Where is the hint as to when to move? The way and realizing, is that the when?
He watched attentively.
Okay.
He waited and realized that the middle point of the inhabited world is the point from which the whole world moves out to all its corners. That whole, all of those phrases are dealing with the four levels of the Kavanah. They're dealing with the level of the right action, the right time, and the right place.
Okay.
And then it's also saying they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. That also is establishing the time and the when and the movement. And at the time I made this commentary, I wasn't aware that even just moving across the street, any move, represents a reincarnation level, a potential reincarnation. I would have written that into that comment as well.
Would you repeat that? Because you kind of broke up.
What I'd said was that at the time that I wrote this commentary, which was a few years ago, I was not aware that when you move, you generate a potential reincarnation. Had I known that, I would have included it in this commentary as well.
I'm not so sure I understand what you mean by potential reincarnation.
When you move to a new location, It is as if you have reincarnated once again. You're
okay,
starting over with a new Keter.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments, thoughts?
Is that related to that when we go to sleep at night, our soul goes up and the part that's corrected, a new part comes down?
Yes, it is. Because when you move to a new location, what we studied in the land of Israel, when you move to a new location, that location has its own angelic minister.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they're all related.
Okay.
Did you want to say something? I thought you wanted to. You broke up a bit.
No.
Okay, I'm going to go on to verse 26.
Okay.
Oh, Dashkach, Vitakel, Vitaref, Lemekam, Alberi, Radamila, Dehahu, Atar, Willahawayada, Willahakil, Lemekam, Alala, Eat, Dabeka, Kewan, Dehama, Tukva dechat atar, Vilayakil mekam, Alleluia, mia, vayavo, adharan, vayeshvu, sham. He continued to observe, to weigh and examine in an effort to determine the nature of that place, but he was unable to understand it so as to cleave to it. He saw the strength of that place and realized that he could not understand it, and therefore immediately they came to Haran and dwelt there. My commentary. Haran is a place of trade. That's the meaning of its name. That implies business, yet it does not specify business for the physical world or trade between species in the spiritual realm. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, he's continuing to ponder, to observe, to weigh. At first it was with the Creator, and now it's with the place that he's come to.
Well, remember, Hashem told him, go out from your father's house to a place that I will show you. And so he is looking for this place. He's looking for the signs that this is where he's supposed to go. Hashem, according to the Torah, Hashem has not told him go to the land of Canaan. It's to a place I will show you, which means he's looking for signs.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for indications, and that's one of the reasons he would continue to question, to weigh and to ponder. We all do it in our own way. Everything is a sign because everything is under the control of the Creator. So when we see the wind blow and take off a leaf from a tree, the pattern that leaf follows as it falls to the ground is giving us a message. Normally we don't understand the message, but that doesn't mean the message isn't there. Should I go on?
I think so.
Verse 27. My Tama de Avraham Eladihu Hawayada Vitzarech Vekali Nun Shaltanin Medabere Alma. The call citro di shuva, wahawa takel, betare finun, bishaltin besitre, di shuva medabere, kochvaya umazale yehon, man inun takifin. Elaine, Al Elaine, Wahawata Kil, Call Yeshuve di Alma, Wahawasalek, Be Yedo, Kadmata le Hayatar, Tamata Kifu, Dami Kin Zikla. Ya kil meikam beya. He asks, why did Abraham delay in Haran and not leave there immediately to go to the land of Canaan, as it is written, and they dwelt there? And he answers, Abraham knew and checked all the governors and rulers of the world that had dominion over the entire civilized world. And he was examining all those who govern and rule over the directions of the worlds, over the world's inhabited land. All those that have dominion over the stars and the constellations. He learned how they exercise their power over one another. In considering all the inhabited places in the world, he did well. And when he reached that place, the point of Malchut, he saw the force of the depths, and he could not withstand it. My commentary. Avram was using the astrological knowledge concealed in the Sefer Yetzirah to calculate and understand spiritual laws. This is the location where he most likely wrote the Sefer Yetzirah in its original 400 or 600 chapters as described in the Talmud. This is also why they stopped and dwelt there. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense with the word stars and constellations.
Correct.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And it seems just logical that that's when he would write this, I think that's a far. Really does. I don't think I thought before, when did he actually write it? And so this verse is kind of confirming that.
Let me give you some answers part. To that.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and finish your thought so you don't lose it?
Well, it was the last couple of sentences. In considering all the inhabited places in the world, he did well. So he felt like he was understanding a certain part of the physical world. But when he reached that place, which I guess is Haran, he saw the depths. I would think the force of the depths meant the negativity with that particular area. And he couldn't withstand it. It didn't say he didn't understand it. He said he couldn't withstand it, which meant to me, he knew this wasn't the place and he had to keep going. I mean, he knew it.
Well,
but you know something, but you don't really, it hasn't really sunk in. And I think that last sentence, and he could not withstand it. Maybe it was the idea of the physicality, you know, the trading and the business, and as opposed to understanding the spiritual identification with that area, you know.
You're not agreeing with Rabbi Ashlag's comments where he says the point of Malchut. But you're right. We don't know what that place is. He reached
mm-hmm.
that, but when he reached that place, and Rabbi Ashlag says it's the point of Malchut, which means it's Israel.
Oh.
Because we know Israel is the Malchut of the world.
Okay. So I kind of thought it to mean the negative side of
Iran.
It didn't.
No, what,
okay.
What it is saying is that he could not withstand it. He could. Anything you can name, you can understand. The fact that you name it means that you've absorbed its energy. You can understand its energy. But now he's reached Malchut, which is Israel, and the energy of Israel is connected to the power of Hashem. We can't name Hashem. We call it the name. We call it Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. But we really do not name it. It's that's just one of the attributes of Hashem. And that's what when it says that he could not withstand it, it's saying that he was overwhelmed by the depth, the power, the expansion capability of Hashem. And above the land of Israel, which is directed by Hashem. Every place else has an angel. Every place else has an energy, and the energy of that angel is connected to the energy of the place. The energy where you are born, the location you were born, that energy is within your soul. It's connected to your soul. But here he's been told, go where I show you, and he is stopped in Haran, where he sees all this trading going on. He says all of this commerce going on, but he also is looking at the stars, and he's also seeing how all of these different species of angels are interacting with each other, trading with each other. He's seeing all of this spiritually. And then he notices spiritually, he tries to travel to the land of Israel, to the land of Canaan, but he sees he doesn't have the vessel to handle that energy by himself. And so he is cautious. He stops in Haran. And he dwells in Haran all the time, pondering, evaluating, looking, and all the time growing into a larger vessel. Remember, he left the age of 75. Now, the Zohar explains that 75 is 7 plus 5. It's a code word, but it also could be a practical age. He was 75, but then he went to Israel, and he went down to Egypt, and he comes back, and he's settling in Canaan. And he's having his son Isaac, and he's having his son
Ishmael.
So if we take 13 years off of 100, he's 87 when he has Ishmael. So there were 12 years to get to the land of Israel, go down to Egypt for a couple of years, and then come back. You know, and I don't really know how long it would take to walk from Ur Chasdim to Israel, but it wouldn't take, 10 years.
Well, I thought the paragraph was in reference before he got to Israel, so I'm glad you pointed out that the point of Malkut is Israel. So that was important.
It's not that I know that. There's many ways to understand this, and you're right. We don't know. If we ignore Rabbi Ashlag's comments, we don't know where that he reached that place. We would assume it would be Haran.
Mm-hmm.
But Ashlag gives us the clarity and says it's the point of Malchut, which means that while he was dwelling in Haran, he was exploring all the places of the world, all the angels of those places. And he was seeing the energy of all of that, and he was able to handle all of their different energies until he got to Canaan. Till he got to Malchut, where he is now saying, Hashem is more than I can handle. I have to build my vessel. Now, I don't know that that's what he thought, but that's what spiritual people think. When we reach something that is an energy that's too strong for us, we know spiritually we have to build our vessel.
I thought it interesting that he pondered the governors and the rulers before actually the people that he met, you know, just the everyday people.
If you're spiritual and you know the cause is always spiritual, why would you meet the people first? You would check out the spiritual levels first. If you meet someone, you can contemplate and invite their spiritual entity, their spiritual cause into your meditation. And you'll know all about that person. So you won't be fooled. Now, I'm not saying people do that, but that's what when someone comes to a righteous person, to a tzaddik, and asks for a blessing, the righteous person has never met that person. He'll close his eyes, he'll contemplate, and he'll ask for that spiritual level of that person to come and explain to him what should happen. I didn't mean to interrupt you, so please.
No. I was just thinking that when we had gone up to New York for conversion, and we were to meet the rabbi every morning and at a restaurant, and just the people coming in, we didn't know anybody from New York other than the family that we were staying with in Borough Park, and we'd have to take the subway into the city. And so it was only the people that would come into the restaurant that, until he would get there, until the rabbi would get there to meet us before we'd go off to the office and at the synagogue. And so it wasn't the leaders of the city. And I just didn't find them to be very friendly very different from the South here.
They're very different than Louisiana,
yeah.
That is for sure.
Right. And so that was what made me think, you know, checking the governors and rulers and, you know, being listed first rather than just the people that he met wherever he went wasn't first.
Right.
But I know that he's doing it on a spiritual level and probably meditation and, and like you say, writing the Sefer Yetzirah, going so far as to stars and constellations, and, you know, so I can understand it. And I realize now that phrase, the point of Malkut, it's in capital letters, so that should have been a hint. You know, that was Rabbi Hashlag's comment, so.
Yes.
And I well can understand
best,
when.
Best, go ahead.
Well, when we were planning to move to Israel, it was two places that kept coming to me. One was Jerusalem and one was Modin. And I know the path and what I consider the things that came to be as to why we chose Modin. One was I received a plant, and I wasn't familiar with that particular flower. And when I looked it up, it grew in Modin. And then a friend of mine in Safat, when we were looking for a place, you know, to rent and eat a place, either Jerusalem or Modin, and we still didn't really know which one. And that particular person told us about a retired rabbi and his wife, and they had an apartment in Modin. and they were just finishing it. And so it was like that was the steps, although we felt that we would eventually get to Jerusalem, but that this first point of reference would, you know, what we were seeing was it was Modi'in. So I can really understand Abraham's pondering as he waited for symbols and signs and, you know, confirmation of when to leave and where to go and, you know, and the specifics of a move.
So, exactly.
And I also mentioned it at Torah study this past week about the energies of a place and how I think you had helped me with the gematria of Lake Charles. And the gematria had, it was 130, and it was this, you know, 130 is very common in many of our studies, that it also had to do with Mount Sinai. It also had to do with the ladder that Jacob saw the angels going right up and down. And I often see that 130 a lot of times, you know, in our studies. So I think
and
that was...
130 is 13 times 10.
Yeah.
So it's a great structure of unity, of Echad.
Yeah. So... it's easy to relate to Leprechaun, let's put it that way. Because like you say, every time
you
make a move, we're moving, you know, and you're...
Yes.
And I know we've been in five different houses in Lake Charles, you know, while we were in our 59 years of marriage. And just doing the gematria of each place and the street and the house number and... all of those things just really open up. So that's kind of relating to the Sefer Yetzirah too. So
I do want to, we're out of time, but I do want to do a quick, you asked about or mentioned some aspects of the Sefer Yetzirah. Come in. There were 400 original chapters that Abraham wrote, because he wrote the Sefer Yetzirah as a book of outreach to the people of his generation, which means the people of our generation, every generation. And what it did, the Sefer Yetzirah was originally written 400 chapters. Right now we have 6 chapters. The 400 chapters was outlines for various personalities, various peoples, various traits of people, so that they knew how to connect to Hashem for their level of consciousness. The 400 represents the four worlds times 10 times 10, the source of each of the souls at that and earlier generations. And even in our generations as well, we have all these different levels of people. But what is taught is that Rabbi Akiva, by the time the 400 chapters reached the time of Rabbi Akiva, we lost most of them. So he rearranged what he had, and he found He basically rearranged it into the 6 chapters that is what we have. Now, there are different forms of it, and that's a longer subject, this longer discussion. But just to give you some background, but we are out of time, so we'll have a class on the Ari for Ki Tetze, which I think you'll enjoy, at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class. Shalom. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.